Never Avoid Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 185 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. Oh, my God. Great show. Great show this week. Is it ever any different? No, it is not, because this show is just fantastic. Very special guests, Nathan Quiroga and Benjamin Verduz. Verduz. Of the band Iskadaf will be joining me here in the backyard here shortly. I was kind of nervous. Going into this. Both very smart guys, both extremely talented. Been around the Seattle scene, music scene for quite some time. I don't know specifically why I was nervous about meeting these two. I think maybe because I hold them in high regard musically, and maybe that's where I was a little jittery. Plus, I had had a whole almost like a pot and a half of Stumptown coffee, which is the best coffee ever. However, it's high octane. Dude, seriously. Seriously, guys. Hey, great show today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for downloading the show. We really appreciate it. Hey, right off the top, we're doing a live show coming up March 29th. Saturday, March 29th at 9 p.m. with the Young Evils, the band, and I'm going to be playing a drinking game with them on stage, drinking music trivia with the Young Evils, plus they're going to play some music, plus comedian Derek Sheen, who's been on this show many times before, has toured with Brian Posehn, a little guy by the name of Patton Oswalt, other luminaries, other comedic luminaries. Derek Sheen, man, he is super funny. Going to be doing some stand-up for us there at the live show at Naked City Brewery, our wonderful sponsor for this here program. 9 p.m., March 29th. Get your tickets now. They're only $4 on brownpapertickets.com. Just type in Air Raid Live into the search bar, and you should come right up with it. Or you can visit our website and click the show poster done by the wonderful Barry Blankenship. Just an awesome, awesome, awesome Air Raid Live poster, man. Come to the show, please. Tickets are going quick. We're almost halfway sold out. We've still got a month to go before the show, so check it out. All right. Hey, by the way, drinking a Naked City Brew right here, Crossfire IPA, man. Super, super good. It's helping me get over this cold a little bit. I don't know if beer is supposed to really do that, but I feel like it is. Maybe because it's affecting my brain. I don't know about you guys. I have had the crud this week, and it's been real bad, man. I had to take like 3 days off of work, which kind of sucks because I don't think I have 3 days of sick time banked, you know? So, God dang it. Not good, right? Laid up in bed, just watching really, really bad movies on HBO and Netflix just for 3 days straight. And I was seriously getting some cabin fever by the end of this. I still feel a little bit. It's in my nasal cavity. Man, I can't shake it. I've been hearing from people too. They've had this crazy ass cold, like cold/flu kind of thing, right? For like weeks, and it's not going away. I'm not worried about it, but I would like it to go away. I don't know. I don't really. I don't know what else to talk about because nothing else has happened in my life except for just laying in bed and being sick. I mean, I had like the shakes, and I was super, super cold, and you know, just it was awful. It was really, really awful, and didn't really, you know, watch any movies that were that great. So you know, I got that going for me. Jeez. But my wife thinks I'm a huge wuss. Like she's got the cold now too, and it's getting worse, but man, she was really just berating me the whole time I was super sick. I kept on, you know, having to call her and be like, hey, can you go get some like Powerade for me? I just need fluids. Or get me this, bring me some soup, you know? And she's just calling me a pussy the whole time. She literally, that's her words, people. Those are her words. Calling me a pussy for being sick. And she even told me about this, like, there's like a Facebook group for women who just rag on their husbands who are sick and their boyfriends who are sick, which I don't really appreciate, ladies. you know? Come on, man. Leave us alone. We're sick. And maybe we are. Maybe we are pussies. I don't know. But really, please stop judging your significant others for feeling horrible. That's it. That's it right there, guys. Hey, before we get into our first musical break and into this amazing conversation with Nathan and Benjamin from Iskadoff, I'd like to remind you guys to go and check out our archive page. If this is the first time that you are hearing my voice, and you're probably fast-forwarding through this whole intro because it's super, super lame. If this is the first time that you've heard the Air Raid podcast, go visit our website at air-raid.net. If you like what you hear, you can click on the archives tab and revisit all 185 episodes of the Air Raid podcast with people like Macklemore, Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, Pete Holmes of the Pete Holmes Show on TBS, Mike Birbiglia, Aisha Tyler of the show Archer. Let's see, Scott Aukerman. Gosh, man, all sorts of amazing people. The Presidents of the United States of America, Mudhoney, Damian Jurado. Wow, right? John Richards. From KXP, man, John Roderick, a lot of Johns have been on this show. Telekinesis, Lynn Shelton, director Lynn Shelton of Mad Men and New Girl and all sorts of amazing movies right now. Go to the archives page at air-raid.net and go check it out. Also, find out more about our live show at our wonderful sponsor, Naked City Brewery, and come and join us, won't you? Drink some beers and have some laughs for only $4. It's going to be great. March 29th. All right. Let's get into it, shall we? This is our first musical break. It's called Everybody Knows off of the new album that's going to be coming out shortly by Iskadoff. Even the sun will burn. I can't read my freaking handwriting. Yeah, this album, this is going to just blow you guys away. We're going to be featuring music from the unreleased album. Actually, maybe it is released already. I don't know. Go to their website, will you? I'm not totally sure. Yeah. Okay. Everybody Knows by the band Iskadoff. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. We'll be right back. something about that Stumptown coffee that just like makes me, especially when you drink like a full pot of it in the morning, that makes me kind of like it.
Yeah.
And plus I was a little nervous to like meet you guys, to tell you the truth. Benjamin Verduce. Sorry.
It's okay. It's actually Verduce is like the Dutch pronunciation. So
is it really? I had it right in a certain language.
Intuitively.
Yeah. Perfect. And Nate Quiroga?
Yes.
Right? Of the band Iskadaf. Is that how you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 2 for 3.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a 66.6%, right?
Hey, man. Statistics guy over
if
there.
If you were a baseball player, your batting average would be really high.
That's true.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not into baseball. Yeah. So, welcome, first of all, to the backyard. I really appreciate you guys coming out here. But just like kind of doing like the loose amount of background information or research that I do on these things, which is basically just looking you guys up on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And finding out that, Ben, you were part of Mount St. Helens Vietnam Band, and Nate, you were part of Mad Rad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, oh, shit. These guys are kind of, Seattle luminaries coming over here a little bit, right? I mean, how long have you guys been in the scene?
Long time. I think I just, like, hit the decade mark.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a good scene to be in, and it's been fun to watch it change too.
Right. And when did you first kind of come on to it, Nate?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really good at, I don't really think about time in a linear fashion. So probably six, what do you think? Six years.
Yeah.
6 years maybe.
Are you from around here?
No, I was, I lived like outside of Portland before coming up here, and then before that I just lived in Northern California and kind of out on the outskirts of Portland.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just came up here to go to school for at Cornish for theater.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I was doing school for theater, studying that, like playwriting, directing, acting, and then I started making music on the side, and that's when that started happening.
Yeah. So, you guys have had a lot of associations in the music community here. Ben, you have your own solo stuff that you have going on right now as well. Like, where did music start for you guys? Like, was it always around when you're growing up? Were your families musical?
No, my mom used to joke that she didn't know how my brothers and I got into music.
Uh-huh.
Mainly started, I guess, in church, because she made us go to church all the time, and they were always like teams playing instruments, and listened to like bands in the radio and like Smashing Pumpkins and all these things.
So you weren't made to like listen to Christian
rock music? No, we were. Most definitely were. my favorite story actually about this is my brother, the church is pretty wild, kind of ridiculous actually, and they were breaking all the CDs to like be pure or something.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
they were going intense. That route.
Yeah, it's crazy, insane.
Wow.
So but my older brother Peter is my favorite story. He couldn't quite cope with it, and he had a whole book of CDs, and he literally put them in a shoebox, put a plastic bag around it, and buried them in the backyard.
Nice. To keep them safe?
Yes, and pretended like they were gone.
Yeah,
and then until the fervor blew over, and then like the church moved on to like the next thing, like that was really bad, like some
comic book
sexual thing or something.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So my brother, of course, man. when the fervor died off and he felt safe, he literally got a shovel and dug him up, and then we had our records back.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Crazy.
It's actually insane. And I'm really glad he did it, but my brother started playing guitar, I started playing drums. We didn't really have any training though. Like, my mom wasn't like, you're in private school and you're gonna have piano lessons. It was more like, we don't know what notes or keys or chords or anything. We just just fumbled around for years and started a band, and we were terrible. But it was a really important thing. And then like just being around other kids at church, like we were always trying to like learn new things and stuff. So by the time I got a little older, I like had some skill. And then I just, once I started writing songs and everything for me changed, I was like, oh, this is a little world I want to live in.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Totally. What about you, Nate? Did you grow up with it?
Not really, no, especially not instruments. I listened to a lot of like actually like hip hop when I was young, I think I started, I just started freestyling with my friends because, well, my middle school didn't have a cafeteria, and so we had to walk to the next school. To eat, and so
did you have shoes?
Yeah, I had shoes.
Okay, good.
yeah, and so we would all just like freestyle the entire walk.
That's great.
Like, so that was like how we killed our time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it started to develop from that. And then I would just like, I would do it all the time. And I'd like sneak out of the house and go like be in like the construction houses that they were building, so I could be loud. And we would just like rap for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Really?
And that was just what we did. And I didn't have instruments really at the time. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine started making beats and like off cassette tapes and stuff like that. And so I'd go over to his house and I was like working at McDonald's at the time and like scribbling on like, you know, napkins and like have a verse and I'd come home and like we'd record it. And I just was wanting to create music in any capacity. I didn't really care how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. So, but instruments didn't come to me until this project. So,
really?
Yeah.
So you just started playing guitar?
Basically. I mean, we've been working on this for the past like 3 years now. So, but yeah, I had to learn how to play.
Dude, that's really impressive.
Oh yeah.
I agree.
I've been playing for like 16 years and I still suck. like, these are just for show.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can't play those. Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, so you like pick up this kind of stuff pretty quickly then, huh?
Well.
And he's just a tenacious worker. Like I would like.
So just like constantly practicing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always tell the story of like when I was like finishing my like master's degree when we first started and. I would loop. We'd be writing a song, and I would I would be like, "I have to finish this thing and send it off, this paper or whatever." And so I would like loop a bass part, and he would just be like, "I would come back like 3 hours later, and he would still be there playing."
Wow,
playing the same loop. So, yeah, very, very, very like determined and like fixates, kind of OCD.
Well, I mean, I was a skateboarder when I was a kid too, so like. Discipline of practice.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
falling down, getting back up, like, trying it again.
That's not new to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like learning things, you know, hasn't been new to me. So once you learn how to learn, then you can apply that same strategy to everything that you do.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've done with this.
I was a terrible learner when I was when I was younger. Like when I first started playing guitar, like I had the same, I had a guitar instructor kind of off and on. For maybe 4 or 5 years or something like that, right? And it was very sporadic. Like I would like skip, you know, months and months and months and then come back and and do another lesson or something like that. But we would always, like I always wanted to learn how to play the Hendrix like riffs, right? And so he would walk me through it and we'd do the tab, we'd write out the tab for it. And he'd be like, okay, next week we're going to work on the next part of the song. So get this part of the song down. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Mike. No, I got it. And come back next week. We got to work on that whole first part of the song again. Cause I did nothing. Right. So that's how I used to learn, which was by means of not learning anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do your homework.
Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly.
Well, for me, like I just started like, I'm obsessive in the sense that, like I said, when I started writing songs, it became a different world. So it was learning, but it was like following like some like rabbit down a hole and I got really lost in it. So like I could play my songs and they would be really weird and people would be like, oh, this is bizarre. But I didn't develop a really solid technique based on like, I had a few lessons, but
right.
But as long as I'm interested in something, then I can kind of keep going, but I wouldn't learn other people's songs.
Yeah. Well, part of it for me too was like, it was probably a mixture of like ADD and like learning enough to where you could take parts out of that, you know, Hendrix riff that you learned and write your own thing, right? Just kind of go off on a tangent and do your own thing for a little while. And that was, I was obsessed with doing that. I remember I got this like little, do you remember Line 6 came out with that pod?
The green thing.
The little pod thing. I think it was maroon at first, I think, when they first came out with it. It was like this loop station had all sorts of effects on it. I remember getting that and like at the age of like maybe 14 or something and just getting high as shit for and just playing with myself, right? Not guitar wise. and And just doing that for hours and hours and hours and being absolutely obsessed with it, you know? But it never apparently, apparently it didn't make me any better at playing guitar. So you guys got something on me, I guess. Yeah. Good on you.
Or maybe, or just maybe, you're yet to discover that you need to just go back to that. And then, like, being a good guitar player is so subjective. So maybe you were just, you were focused on the wrong thing. So
will you guys come back every week and just give me a pep talk?
Totally.
Because this is working out great.
You're worthwhile.
For me right now.
You're beautiful.
Yeah. You're good. God darn it. People like you.
You are enough.
I love it. Can we talk about this religion thing for a second? This
sure.
is something that always really interests me, because I didn't grow up with religion in my life. I grew up with basically the anti of that, where my dad, and I, people are going to be sick of hearing this by now, but my dad would like turn on Jimmy Swaggart on Sunday and say, "See this, Aaron? This guy's a fucking liar." And then he would make me watch it for like a half an hour and just like, you know, try to point out all this.
Yeah.
See, he's doing, that's a fake, he's fake crying right now. Oh, and like, it was obsessive, borderline obsessive.
That's awesome.
But so I don't, you know, I don't really understand, like, especially it sounds like yours was pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Right?
At times. Yeah.
How was it growing up? Like, were you cognitive of like what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that I didn't come from like my mother was awesome in many, many ways, but I didn't come from like a, what you call, quote unquote, like a good background, like these like two, you know, beaming parents with like, you know, everything together. It's quite the opposite, actually.
Okay.
And so for me, religion was like, I think a lot of it for my mother was just to kind of give us something really good and to kind of, she was afraid, I think. And I think it meant something to her.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it was the community, often like gave a lot of support, but it wasn't very linear. Yeah. It was like, we would go for months at a time, and then sometimes we'd stop for like a year, and then we'd go for a couple years. Sometimes we went to this church where they had, one time they had church every night for 40 days, and it was
Whoa.
Like torture. But you know, we went and we did it, and, and you know, it really shapes you. I learned a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I'm actually really grateful for it. A lot of people are really bitter, and I had some really bad experiences, but I learned so much.
Like, yeah. Are you still a religious person? Would you consider yourself a religious person?
Not really.
No.
No. I mean, I don't, I guess I'm not like a, like your father where I like, I try to find the weakest example of something, like the worst band, and be like, music's terrible because this band is so fake.
You right, know? Right.
I think there are some of the most brilliant humans that have ever lived that are the most like spiritual or religious. So like, I don't, without being corny or cliche, like spirituality and religion, all those things, I mean, they're very profound ideas and very like important things, I think. I don't know at this point. I don't really have like a mission statement or like something that I can formulate to be like, yeah, this is exactly where I land on everything.
Right,
so,
right.
But I don't feel uncomfortable talking about it. So, but yeah. So yeah, there's a bit of a snapshot for it.
Yeah.
I also like, I did study like a lot, and I've always been really interested in it. So at the same time, like I'm eternally fascinated by like reading the Bible or the Quran or like spiritual like scripture is really in poetry. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah,
it's actually really important. And I feel bad sometimes when people don't have a concept of some of the stories because they're so like important to like the development of like Western literature. All literature, but especially like, you know, it shaped so much.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, and it's actually a little embarrassing too when like you. Like for me, for example, like I could be talking with a lot of people that I know about religion or something, and they will reference, you know, stories like the Pillar of Salt. Like I just found out what the hell the Pillar of Salt was like a couple years ago.
So dope.
I had no idea. And I was like, whoa, that's insane.
It's a great story. It's a really
good
story.
Yeah, yeah. But like, who's the band that has the song about the Pillar of Salt? Was that Mountain Goats? Mountain Goats are the Thermals or something.
I'm not super familiar with either of those bands. I know some of their material, but
I can't remember which band it was. I get those two bands kind of mixed up too, but like Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I find it super interesting.
I love to tell those stories. Like, I tell my girlfriend and Nate, I tell everyone around me, like, if something comes up and there's a reference, I'm like, do you know that story? It's really fun to tell, and I put my own little spin on it.
Yeah. So, Nate, how annoying is that?
It's not that annoying. He has a pretty funny way about going about it. I think he could actually do something with it on, like, his YouTube channel.
There you go, like, man.
Synopsis.
Yeah, you could have your own video podcast.
Yeah, like telling the stories of, you know, in his own way. It's actually quite funny.
Yeah, it's kind of like the drunk history. Have you ever heard
of this stuff? Yeah, totally.
Just kind of like put it in a context that people be like, you know, can really like, it really resent, like, that's not in like King James. Like,
that's very,
you know,
colloquial.
Old English. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, for that reason, too, like, growing up with my dad, who was, like, the complete opposite of somebody who was, like, you know, evangelical Christianity, or steeped in that, like to where their kids would probably branch off and be bitter about that, I have branched off from my dad and become more in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I would consider myself an agnostic, like... Yeah. I don't really know what is out there. You know, there could be some higher being or some cloud of energy out there in the galaxy that's kind of steering things in a certain direction. Who knows? Yeah. Who the fuck knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's somewhat presumptuous, you might say.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's steer this. Let's be that cloud of energy and steer this conversation into a different direction.
We just lost like 6 fans. We've only got 5 left.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. How did you guys? So, how did you guys come together? Because it seems like knowing the history of both of your musical styles and your bands, like, it seems like kind of an odd. An odd arrangement.
True. On the surface.
Arrangement might be a bad word for
it.
But,
no.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the story? Or do you want me to?
And how many times have you told this story?
quite a few. It's getting, getting up there.
Is it getting?
Cliff notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell it, but I think you might be a little bit better at it at this point.
I'll do my best. Here we go. Ready? So... I'll put new material in it. So some.
Hey, so, just throw some fake shit in there.
So this lady Charlize, I'm good friends with. We would go to shows together, and she introduced me to this group Mad Rad. They were playing her birthday party, and I was like, "Oh, this is really interesting." And then I went to this other show, this Fresh Espresso show, and I was like, "These beats are really cool. They're actually some of the most interesting things I've heard in a long time." And so I'm always trying to learn new things, and I said, well, I'd like to learn to make beats. I grew up listening to hip-hop a lot. Like, it was a really important, you know, part of, like, my musical development, so to speak. So I was like, I would really like to make electronic music, make beats. And so I hit up P-Smooth, who was producing the Mad Rad stuff, after I got back from a tour. And I went over there, and he showed me some stuff. He's, like, works at lightning speed, but I gleaned some really important things. And then... Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, do you want to play guitar in this song? So I played guitar in the song, and it was like, yay, everyone loved it. And I was like, oh, really? Cool. And then he played me some tracks of the new record, their second record, and I was like, who's that singing? What's that? And that was Nate. And I was like, this person's writing amazing melodies. This person's really talented. These lyrics are really smart. And so anyway, I played some shows with them, and I hung out and became friends with all of them, and Nate in particular, and we started working on it. He was just starting to learn the guitar, and I started giving him little tips, and I kind of just was like, this guy's brilliant. I really want to play music with him. And so it worked out to the kind of the trajectory of our projects and lives, where we were like, we just started playing, and we have this work ethic, so we almost play like literally every day for the last 3 years. So totally. that's kind of where it hits like light speed. We're like, this is cool. We're writing good stuff that we really enjoy, and we're going to take our time with it and do it the way that we want to.
Cool. And so there's no real rush for you guys.
You know, now that things are starting to move a little bit, it's definitely not a rush, but it's a little bit more intense. There's a lot more stuff, like, we're, you know, doing this, you know, which is great, which is awesome, but I'm glad that we definitely gave it time to develop.
I don't feel like there's a rush in the sense of like we have to get this done, but there is like we want to create as much as possible in this time that we have.
You know
what I mean? Totally. So I think that we are constantly working because of that, because I feel like we're capable of creating something really special if we just keep at it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that we're just now, like, especially, getting into some really interesting territory that we, I don't, you know, couldn't have forced or foreseen. And so, like, for me, that's fueling and that's energizing.
Right.
And so, like, that's what makes me want to move faster, but not to sacrifice the quality of the music or how long a song should take to develop. That makes sense.
I like that. Yeah, totally. Totally. And this is a good spot to take our second musical break. We're featuring music off of your new album, which comes out March 11th.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, and it's called Even the End. God dang it. I can't even read my own. Even the Sun Will Burn. It looks like June. Sun looks like June. I don't know what that means. Even the Sun Will Burn. This song is called Happiness, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. With special guests today, Nate and Ben of Iskadoff. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Happiness by the band Iskadoff. Oh my God, I feel like I'm saying that wrong.
That's good.
Good. Okay. Awesome. And what does that mean exactly again?
It means let it go.
Let it go?
Or to leave it alone.
Okay. Cool. How'd you guys come up with that?
I started learning to speak Somali. It's a Somali phrase.
Oh, okay.
I started learning to speak that language like 5 years ago, kind of through my work. I just worked with Somali students.
Uh-huh.
I just...
Are you a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
You are? Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
And at the time, I was a teacher's assistant, and I would just hang out with these kids all day from, like, Ethiopia, from Somalia, from Vietnam and Mexico City, just wherever, you know, like,
yeah,
kids
yeah.
that were coming in. And,
yeah.
But I really bonded with this group of Somali kids when I was on a long-term assignment. And I just started learning words, and I really loved the language, and the kids were awesome. So I just kind of had this theory that I was like, well, all these kids I'm working with are working their asses off to learn English, so I should learn one of their languages. And so anyway, long story short.
Yeah, that's a good way to be.
So yeah, I've kept at it. And my girlfriend is Somali, and so she's taught me a ton of stuff. So she kind of gave us the names, because she taught me the phrase and I said it all the time, and then I taught Nate, and then we were trying to figure out band names, and it's an awful thing to try to figure out a band name.
Yeah, it's pretty much the worst.
And it was kind of our mantra, so we'd say it to each other. And so I say that it's on loan, my girlfriend kind of gifted it. She was take it, gift it. I've gifted it to you. So
gotcha. So we were talking before we left for that musical break. We were talking a little bit about how you guys got together, your work ethic with this band. Do you guys feel is this band somewhat of a side project for both of you, or is this this is it, right? This is the project.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we do this every day. This is what we think about all the time.
You're putting all your energy into this basket, to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we have also Ben has his solo project, and mm-hmm. then I'm going to work on one as well.
Oh, cool.
And so that we can just constantly be creating, and the stronger that we are as individuals, the stronger the project is as a
yeah,
whole.
Yeah. So for both of you, is this and I hate to sound a cliche on this, but is creating music and creating sound a need?
Definitely.
Somewhat?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that if we don't work on stuff or create music, I think both of us kind of start to fall apart.
Really?
Our anxiety is pretty high,
uh-huh.
and I think our minds will start to attack themselves, so to speak, and our just happiness in general will just fade, and my outlook on humanity.
I can tell right now. It's I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, quite. It gets bleak. It gets really bleak. Yeah, yeah. And so I need something to work on to center myself, to humble myself, to feed my mind, to constantly be inquisitive and to constantly be learning. So that way it's taking all of that energy and it's applying it to something positive.
Right.
Rather than just letting it sit there and become stagnant and then eventually just sort of attacking itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And for people who don't know, Nate, you were in this hip hop group, called Mad Rad,
mm-hmm.
That had a reputation for being crazy, right?
Right.
Pretty much. I never saw you guys ever play live. I always wanted to, but was never able to. And I feel like I missed out on that a lot.
Mm. Yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah, yeah. But what I've heard. So what is the change? What made you change from being kind of the wild hip-hop guy in Seattle to now this, two-piece guitar-playing... Mm-hmm. Duo.
I think I just focused the energy. I don't think the energy is too different. It's just I was experimenting then, and I'm experimenting now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was still trying to communicate something honest, and I was at the same time. Now I feel like I have less. I'm not fighting with as many ideas. You know. Ben and I see eye to eye on basically everything, and we allow ourselves the room to communicate what we feel. And I don't know. With Mad Rad, I wasn't trying to be wild or crazy. I was just trying to release something, you know, and trying to get something out. And I didn't really understand what it was, and I allowed myself to not understand it.
Yeah.
And that's what those performances were, 45 minutes of just doing whatever I wanted to do. Stripping myself of any of my fears, I was just trying to let things go, and that's what this project is too. It's just now that I've gotten some of that out of my system and kind of burnt through a lot of things,
I can
focus that energy and into communicating without having to, you know, writhe on the floor necessarily.
Right. Like a giant human python.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that, man. Yeah, totally. Totally. I think, do you think some of that too is like, because you guys had a pretty big following here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And like being up on stage, like, that's got to feed you too, right? The excitement of the crowd and everything like that has got to feed into that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make you more excited, make you more pumped up, get that adrenaline flowing kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's funny. I didn't really, for me, it wasn't like we were with each other when I was doing Mad Red shows. It was me versus everyone.
Oh, really?
Like, I felt like those shows were like a war zone.
Dude, I'm like so bummed that I missed that.
So
now.
I really there was some connections. Like, I wanted to like, but I wanted to pierce you.
Right.
I wanted to shove a lance through your heart, like that. I was determined to make sure that that happened, and like to the point where I would destroy myself to make sure that you might be affected. And like that was like, so before those shows, it was like I was gonna go into like, I could die, you know, like, I definitely have risked some things at those shows.
Yeah.
And like was left bloody most of the time.
Yeah. And so I've heard.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
And quite literally climbed the, one of the first Mad Rad shows I saw was when at Sasquatch, and he climbed like 30 feet into the air, and I was like, this man is going to die, but it's amazing. You know?
Yeah. You climbed the scaffolding at Sasquatch?
Yeah, just and got up on top of the roof of it.
Oh my God.
And that was the first time that's ever happened, and then they made it so that people can't do that anymore. Which I was bummed out about.
Are you not afraid of heights? That would have just made me like crap myself.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm. I mean, I would. I mean, it depends on how high it is.
High he is.
That didn't seem that high at the time, and it seemed like it just seemed appropriate.
I love it. Oh my God. Well, you guys definitely have an energy about you, and I think it. I think obviously, just hearing what you guys have on the record, and the upcoming record, and the EPs that you guys have released as well, like I feel like you play really well together, which is which is not always like a normal thing. So, good on you. Mm. Now, so recently, you guys released this video. Featuring Macklemore.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you probably know Macklemore from playing around town and stuff. When that got released and people started like talking about that, because of course, you know, how many Grammys did he just win?
Four?
Jesus. that's insane, and he did it all by himself, and he's super uber famous now. Did you know going into it, like having him in the video would like spark such an interest in you two?
I mean,
you must have had an idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, obviously, he's a celebrity now, people are, you know, he has a lot of fans, so that's awesome. I think probably more than anything, though, like, he fit the part, you know, like we had this concept and we were like, actually, like this.
Well, I was thinking that when I was watching, I was like, this is perfect.
Right. Yeah. It makes so much sense. And I'll tell you actually, because you know him, but I actually like, there are two people that
I don't know him very, I don't want to say that.
No,
an acquaintance.
No. Someone else. I'm getting to this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So there are two people that I like for this casting for that part that I thought of. One was Ben and one was actually Luke Burbank. Mm. Because he actually kind of looks like him, and he has he has a certain energy that I thought would have been cool, but
right.
But obviously, in the context of like where we're at right now in society,
does he know that he was up for the part?
No, I never hit him up because it worked out with Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was perfect for it, and I think he liked the script and was, you know, was totally into it.
Right,
so,
right.
But no, like I would have hit up Luke next because I thought he
that's
was
fucking great.
Yeah.
I just see it right now. Yeah.
Exactly. So in that regard, it was like, you know, it's awesome. It's super cool when someone has a, you know, a level of, you know, influence and stuff. But but at the same time, it worked out really well for us because like he fit so well.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a great job too.
Well, I want to see, when that video showed up in my Facebook feed, Like, I instantly watched it and I was like, man, I want to see more of this. Because I used to be very, I still am to a certain extent, very obsessed with like Vietnam era movies, mm-hmm. like Platoon yeah. and, you know, all those, Hamburger Hill and stuff like that. I love those movies. Yeah. And that was like, it was playing such into that. Like, it, let's yeah. set it up for people who haven't seen it. It like takes part in kind of like a USO show, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who came up with the idea for the video?
Yeah, I guess it was me.
Oh, really?
We were working on, I had this other concept first, but I was doing research. And I found actually like the thing that inspired it was I found this Anne Margaret. She was a performer. She was doing one of these like on this really like homemade stage somewhere in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And it's a Super 8 clip. It's really like raw and it's about a minute and a half long. And she gets up there and just like starts dancing. And these troops come up on stage and are just wiling out with her. It's like, it's yeah, so yeah. beautiful. And it totally captivated me. So I called Tristan, the director, and it was like, uh-huh. you know, I sent it to him. I was like, this is what I want to do. And then we started seeing all these Bob Hope clips and we're like, this is awesome. And then people told me like, oh, you know, like it looks like you were really influenced by Apocalypse Now, which is cool. Cause that's yes. a great scene. And we definitely looked at that later as a reference,
yeah.
but it was actually, yeah. I could send you the clip. It's really cool. The reference and the energy about it was perfect. And it, the concept of the video and the song are very related too. So like
okay.
we spent a long time writing the lyrics to that song and it very much is inspired by like, you know, like drone warfare and some contemporary like, you know, issues related to like disconnection and devices and the way that we relate to things. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
to go, we created these characters that are actually, perhaps you will see more if we make the next video, but we created these characters like Nate started writing this song called General Malaise, which is on a record, and it profiles these different military personnel in the current like context. And so
yeah, yeah.
basically the concept we ended up like writing was like these characters like in their early careers in the military when they had something to do, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like, those are all the underpinnings of that. So those characters that the camera zooms in on are like, those are like characters that like are in one of the songs on the record and uh-huh. that we'll hopefully develop.
Oh,
more.
Cool, man. Yeah. That could be like almost like a concept song.
Right. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was going to be like a concept EP actually.
Oh really?
Yeah. We were going to put out an EP, which we still probably will. Later just to share it was called Drones and it uh-huh. was like all about kind of drone warfare and stuff
yeah
like that.
Yeah, that's cool. So is that important to you guys to like have a message in a song, or like can it be fictionalized, can it be just a story or just a hook?
Yeah, this was just something that kind of like that felt like I you know, Ifra, Benjamin's girlfriend, kind of like I asked her to give me some internet resources that I could start to study up on current issues. And because I had felt so like far removed from it.
Yeah.
And I've always been like an avid reader, but I didn't have the internet for a long time. So I didn't like read about what was going on. And
right.
So I was
right.
like, oh man, I really, now that I got this, I want to like study.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was one of the things that like really hit me, that I couldn't believe that this is happening and that it's going to continue to keep happening and become more and more of a real thing. But it just didn't seem right, you know? And so I started like working on some songs, bringing them in with Benjamin, and we started developing it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that when we're writing songs, we're searching for issues to tackle. Usually we're just kind of just writing and just seeing what comes up.
Yeah. It's like
Yeah.
And I didn't mean it to sound like that. Like you're looking for stuff. It's just like, you know, whatever you're,
yeah,
consumed with.
I mean,
I
don't think we're gonna write anything that's like frivolous or like that, uh-huh. if it doesn't mean anything, because it takes a lot of work to make a song.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And it's like I'm not gonna just put anything out there.
I always struggled with that. Like I always, you know, and that's basically the artist struggle, right? Is like it's like writing something and then you're just like, man, this shit. Like,
yeah,
just, you know, I would always kind of struggle with that, like writing a song or writing lyrics.
Yeah.
That would just become this cliche kind of thing.
Yeah, well, think about it like almost like a tattoo. If you're going to put it out there, you know, and put it on.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
It's like people are going to see that a lot.
Right.
And they're going to look at it a lot, and they're going to go, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And, you know.
That lion is really stupid.
Yeah. You know, so like just be prepared to be with it for a while. And if
right,
it's something
right.
that you can stand to be with for a while and share, then then go with it.
Yeah, yeah, you know? That's a good point, man. I want to get back to like being consumed by bad news in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like after we moved into this place, like we don't have television. We've got an antenna on that TV you see right there,
mm-hmm.
but that's it, you know. And like I have found it so liberating to stop watching the news, the nightly news, and reading the newspaper about like all the bad shit that is going on everywhere.
Yeah.
I do feel very uninformed on a lot of issues now, but holy crap, man. Like I think I'm happier after not paying attention to that kind of stuff. Did you feel like when you're like doing research or just reading up on like all like the stuff with the drones and you know, different airstrikes and stuff like that, do you feel like you're a little bit more depressed or like angry?
Well, I'm always angry. And so it doesn't matter. It's just a more like I'm able to like know that other people are like being like, you know, their lives are much more unhappy typically. You know?
Well, that's
so it's like if I could do anything to help in any regards, even if it's communicating an idea through a song, then it's not an issue.
Yeah.
And as an artist, I feel it's important to be aware.
Yeah,
you know, of everything that's going on.
Yeah, I get that.
Regardless of my happiness, you know, like I'm not, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. I just felt myself like getting so consumed with what the Republican Party was doing at all times.
I see that.
You know,
and usually we're pretty helpless.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels pretty helpless.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to say what is the best route.
I just want to see what I'm looking for right now is for us to go back to where we were when we started, where you guys are just giving me a pep talk. Like, don't feel bad.
Well, no, I got it for you. Yeah, don't feel bad. I mean,
thank you.
I think what this is rooted in is...
Jeez, Nate, God.
I didn't know. I'm not saying anything's right or wrong here.
I think what it boils down is having some level of balance and control.
Sure, sure.
And I think what you're talking about is like when you subject yourself to a stream that's kind of like doctored and like set up for you to like kind of... the nightly news is kind of like kid got hit by a car, the weather, this is how the world is being crushed, you know, and then maybe a snippet of a kitten, you know, but it's really all pretty rough and it's pretty much all set up for you. But I mean, with the internet, I mean, you don't have a television, but you literally before my eyes have this amazing tool where you can be like, okay, these are things that are important to me. These are things I want to know about, even if it doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
So I think that like, you know, there's a lot more information, but you can also kind of be like, okay, I'm interested in what's happening in Yemen right now.
Yeah.
You know, like for whatever reason, you know, I'm going to read and stay posted because when I meet someone from Yemen, I'm going to be like, hey, you know, we can discuss what's happening in the world, you know, and you can't know everything, but there are a lot of things you can know. And I think, I guess what I'd say for us, you know, since we're having this discussion for me and now for you, it's just like, I think for me, it boils down to like people, like, you know, if you care about people and then it's important to know about what's happening.
Yeah.
And there are things that people care about and things that are happening to them. So if you know that there's a huge Ethiopian community in your city and you take the time to find out some things about what's happening in that country or like what language people speak, then you can embrace them and be like, hey, I care about your life, rather than being like, oh, cool, that's just someone from another country and that's going to drive me around. You know, like that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's like, it's about like being a part of a community, both like in the world now, but also like in your local community.
Yeah.
So.
There's definitely value in that. There's a lot to what you said for that too. And I think there's a fine line to being informed and saturated,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I would say that most people now are saturated,
totally.
Right? I would say as the country as a whole is probably saturated with the 24-hour news cycle, mm-hmm. being constantly bombarded with like, you know, stuff from snowpocalypse,
right.
You know, 2014 to, you know, Timmy's trapped in a well. You know,
and then celebrity stuff just nonstop, like Miley Cyrus. Exactly. Every day you have to hear about who is divorcing and like what. Even if you don't want to, it's like it's kind of.
And people are like, we're like addicted to stress. You know,
oh, exactly.
So, well, so we get off on it. We're like, oh yeah, this feels terrible. I love it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you have to be mad at something, right?
Yeah.
There's always something to blame. now.
Right.
You know, it's always somebody else's fault. Nobody wants to take, take charge of their own shit.
And it's people they just want to feel something. And so they feel anger and they're like, oh, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Or, and it's like, no, you don't have to just feel that one emotion to feel alive.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And now you guys can do that with your music, right?
I was trying to do
that didn't make any yeah that didn't work.
No, it was awesome. You're giving back.
I'm just trying here, guys. No, I'm just trying.
You're doing fantastic.
Yeah, see, now I feel better.
Now we're back
because now I feel informed.
Yes.
Right.
You have a new strategy.
Yeah. Oh, it's an air raid of information.
That's exactly, man. Exactly. See, whenever, and this is, it's not, I always feel bad when this happens, but like, you know, if you ever check like your stats for your like website and stuff and see where your hits are coming from, mm-hmm. whenever there is a bombing mm-hmm. or like an air raid, mm-hmm. in other parts of the world, we get tons of web hits.
Wow.
Like from that part of the world. So like, wow. Yeah, like during some of the kind of heightened bad things that were going on in Iran, mm-hmm. we were getting all sorts of web hits from Iran.
So when does this air? I'll be checking the news
next
every day.
Week. Yeah. If there's a bombing somewhere, you'd be like, ah, oh, yeah, a lot of people are going to hear that episode.
Yeah, launch that episode now.
So bad.
That's terrible.
So bad. So bad. Well, what's coming up for you guys besides the launch of this new album and... I guess subsequent tour.
Yeah, we're booking a West Coast tour right now, trying to just like do like hit up people that we know and kind of contour it, kind of like we've done with our shows. Just connecting with people. So we're kind of like getting going on that. We've got a few things that are starting to come together, and then obviously we have that big release show at Numo's with Don't Talk to the Cops and Stickers.
It's
March 13th.
Yeah. Cool.
And then we got Sasquatch is announced, Tree Fort. So we've got some.
Well, that's right. You guys are playing Sasquatch too. What weekend? Now that
the July one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We play Sunday,
July,
I believe.
4th, 5th, and 6th or something.
Yeah, we play the 6th.
Yeah. So yeah, good things.
That'll be cool.
Good things starting to come together.
Yeah. Are you guys excited? To really get this thing rolling and.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very.
Yeah, we've been excited, and I mean, it's funny because I can't believe that. I keep thinking that the record's already out,
you know, right?
It's like done in my brain, and like I've came to terms with it, like, you know, for the most part,
yeah.
And like, so I keep thinking that everyone's heard it and it's like out there, but it's not, and that's an interesting feeling. So it's gonna be good.
You gotta keep on reminding yourself.
Yeah.
We haven't released that yet.
I'm already thinking about like writing the next record, the record after that. I'm like ready to keep writing new music. And
are you guys coming up with stuff already?
Oh yeah. Oh
really?
Yeah. We've been working on the second and third record for a while now. So we had to slow it down so that we could work on to finish this record. But then, you know, and then we're going to work on some solo stuff. So we just want to keep writing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun to get on the road and share it and like really build that community and do it in a different way. Yeah, we're excited. We're always excited.
Excellent, man. Yeah, that's cool.
And I think that like the community has been like really supportive, and it's so I think there's something inherently exciting about connecting with people and not.
Yeah.
It just feels a lot different this time around, and like people have been like really like,
this time around as in like difference between your last band.
I mean, for me especially, like we did a lot of touring in Mount St. Helens, and like it was kind of frantic, like a lot of people just being like, okay, this is the path you take, whereas opposed to like this time around I feel like this is the path we are creating. And so I like our record label, the people we're connected with, the people that like connect with the music, it just feels a lot more organic. Mm-hmm. And so like when we go on this tour, it's like we're connecting with people that we know and they're bringing their friends, and we're not taking this kind of prescribed route where you're this is how you do it. It's like,
Well, do you feel like it's almost like a comedian like paying their dues? Do you like those first bands that you guys were in here in the city or
I,
like?
I mean, I think it's cool to I think you do in some ways pay your dues, but I mean, I have had friends that have had bands that like have, they were really young and they got like, you know, popular right away and they sustained mm-hmm. a cool thing. It just happens all different ways. I think it's, if you're an artist, you're committed to your craft, and like if people connect with it, that's great. You know, that's what you want. But also there's really no set way that it's going to happen. You never know how like some of your fans are going to come about or what project or what time. So I just feel really like fortunate to be like not looking for an end. I'm kind of like, I think that's why I can say, we're excited. Cause like I get to play music with my best friend every day and we get to go do some, like we've been to New York a few times and we get to like do all this traveling and mm-hmm. release music that we're fond of. The guy, you know, our record label, the guy who owns it, Kurt, is amazing. He's like a super close friend. So it's like, it's a good situation.
That's cool. That's mm-hmm. cool, man. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you guys. I really like what I've heard so far, and hopefully get a babysitter and come and see you guys play some live music before I regret that too.
Yeah, you got to come.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. Where can we find your stuff on the web and all that good stuff? How do we connect with you?
iTunes, Amazon, Bandcamp,
and Twitter.
We're
on Twitter.
We do have a Twitter actually. Yeah. We don't use it that much.
Okay.
We
use our We've never used it.
Yeah, we haven't used it.
We're going to make it like that one, maybe in like 5 years, there'll be like one tweet.
I don't even know
if I know the password, but it's just, we want as people to follow it and just have faith in it.
Yeah.
Like it'll come one of these days.
Want your dad to
like
follow
my dad. Yeah. In 10 years, he'll look back and he'll say, Aaron, you see that Twitter account? That Twitter account's fake.
And then
those tears are not real.
One day the tweet will just come.
Well,
we're trying to make a lot of things happen here in this podcast. Well, thank you guys so much, Ben and Nate. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you. We're going to go out today with the song Roomie off of the new album that comes out March 11th. Even the Sun Will Burn. See how I didn't say June that time?
That's great.
I remembered.
You're good.
You're
learning.
You're getting good.
I'm learning. See that?
Look at that.
This show's all about learning. The song is called Roomie. You can find us at air-raid.net. You can also connect with us at aaron@air-raid.net. Send me an email or on the Twitter @airraidnet, right? Live show coming up March 29th, Saturday, March 29th, with The Young Evils, comedy by Derek Sheen, and then super secret awesome guest will be joining us as well. We'll be drinking some beers, playing a drinking game with the Young Evils on stage. Get your tickets now. They're very, very limited. All right, this is Roomie by Iska Dauf, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Leave my voice.